You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it impacts you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now: a shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/givetech.
A battle of two behemoths has shaped how we shop. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Amazon and Walmart. Walmart and Amazon. Separately and together, these mega retailers have transformed how Americans transact, for better or worse. It's the subject of a new book, Winner Sells All: Amazon, Walmart, and the Battle for Our Wallets. Author Jason Del Rey says, in recent years, the two have become almost mirror images, with Walmart chasing online sales while Amazon opens physical stores.
Maybe when I started covering these companies 10 years ago, I would have laughed at someone if they talked up the idea of Amazon, you know, opening stores. But over the last, 5 to 6 years, they have. So as many people probably know, they did acquire Whole Foods back in 2017. I think that has not gone as well as they would have hoped. I think I shop at Whole Foods, but not super regularly. But I check in a lot because I cover these companies. And I don't know that the experience is better than it was pre-Amazon. And there's been other struggles there. They've then gone out and opened bookstores, which some people thought was either ironic or, awful, or, you know, some people thought it was cool, I guess. And they ended up shutting those down last year. They opened Amazon Fresh, their own grocery chain that was sort of more of a mass brand versus the higher end brands like Whole Foods. They've now paused that expansion. And they also had some, you know, sort of funky stores called Four Star, which were kind of a mix of a bunch of stuff found on Amazon that had ratings of, you guessed it, 4 stars at least. And so, you know, I think they went into the space thinking they can use technology as a key differentiator in physical retail, with sensors and cameras that would let you just walk out without paying. I think that's been cool for some people, but if the experience in your store, the products aren't quality, or they're perishables are not great, or you're out of stock, those are still things that matter more than anything in physical retail. And they have honestly failed so far in many ways in this space.
And is the aim there just to capture that final bit of market that still, you know, persists in going to brick and mortar and shopping in person?
You know, in some product categories, 80 to 85% of spending still happens in a physical store. So they want to grow, and they've somewhat saturated, through their Amazon Prime memberships, you know, some of the online market that they've been in a long time. And so in one way, it's a growth mechanism. In another, they want these facilities also to be pickup and return facilities. You know, I don't know about you, but if I know plenty of people who order 8 different sizes of something because Amazon lets them ship them back for free. And like, that's just not sustainable, even for a company like Amazon. So I think that's another key piece of the puzzle, is the unsexy stuff that's called reverse logistics.
How did the pandemic influence this competition?
The pandemic comes and Walmart is finally forced to do something that Amazon executives have worried for decades they would do, which was offer really, really robust pickup services from their stores. So order online, pick up curbside, which became very popular everywhere during the pandemic. And they also started ramping up how much they deliver from their stores, basically using their stores as mini warehouses, if you will. And you know, that had long been a strategy that just for a variety of reasons internally was a challenge, but the pandemic forced them to piece a lot of this together. And they really, especially in online grocery industry, became really successful thanks to, you know, sadly, thanks to the destruction and the unease and the conditions that the pandemic had caused.
Amazon has also shed a lot of jobs, about 27,000 jobs. I'm wondering if that has benefited Walmart in any ways.
Walmart, in the last 5 to 6 years again, has hired former Amazon executives into a series of key roles. Some, as you could read in my book, totally did not work for a variety of reasons and flamed out, but others are still there. And so I think I've seen them just in the last few months continue to be really aggressive in trying to hire from Amazon. You know, they are different cultures, and so that is a challenge, bringing folks into Walmart and into Bentonville, Arkansas, from Seattle, Washington, and Amazon's headquarters. But what I'm seeing is them continue to see this as an opportunity, and it in many ways kind of makes sense.
And recently, Amazon has been making a big push into healthcare. How does that affect the ongoing battle with Walmart?
So they're taking somewhat different approaches right now in terms of Amazon, more of a concierge, high-end medical care service, Walmart pushing for accessibility as their main lever. But as Walmart executives told me, and former executives from both companies told me, they very well might be on a collision course, as we've already seen them competing for the same startup acquisition targets in this space already.
Does healthcare seem like an area that consumers are going to be on board with, given some of the sentiment around big tech that's been souring?
That's a very fair question. I'll start with Amazon. On one hand, there is this scrutiny and, you know, certain, and, you know, parts of this, you know, the U.S. population that look at them with either disdain or fear and are not fans. Their brand is also still pretty beloved by other large sections of this population. And so I had one former Amazon executive tell me that even in his own shopping, he shops on Amazon a ton, but if it's stuff that he puts in his body or on his skin, not clothing, but, you know, creams or stuff like that, that he doesn't trust them. And so I think there are many people who may not trust them. But I think there's a whole big portion that if the prices are right and the convenience is right, would move some spending and some care to them. I'm not sure I'm one of them, but I think it's easy to forget when we hear all the criticisms of the company and see that a lot of people still really love them, for better and worse.
What might the future look like? Do you think either of them will continue to be the most dominant when we take into account some of the changing tastes and trends among emerging consumers, younger generations?
I think Amazon, I think they're really at an inflection point here, and it's not clear where they go from here. I think Walmart will continue to grow. I think they're finally tying their stores and online together in a pretty successful way. That said, there are companies that could be the next, you know, great big company in this space. But if we look back in history, we look at the histories of companies like Sears, there's a good bet that 20 years from now, we are talking about someone else other than these two, whether they're still growing or not.
Jason Del Rey, his new book is Winner Sells All: Amazon, Walmart, and the Battle for Our Wallets. We'll have a link to an excerpt of Jason's book at our website, marketplacetech.org. And in the latest round of Amazon and Walmart convergences, Walmart recently showed off its first market fulfillment center in May, sort of an ultra-efficient e-commerce warehouse in the model of Amazon, but within a brick-and-mortar store location. Amazon, meanwhile, announced a new partnership with Staples stores, adding to a list that includes Whole Foods and Kohl's brick-and-mortar retailers, where customers can drop off returns. Amazon also began offering select Prime members $10 off to pick up some purchases from a local hub rather than get them shipped. As the company tries to cut down on all those costly home deliveries, it helped make ubiquitous. Jesus Alvarado produced this episode. Rosie Hughes and Daniel Shin also produce our show. Gary O'Keefe is our engineer. Daisy Palacios is the interim senior producer. Kelly Silvera is our executive producer. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.